It's time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian and nutritionist Amber Boyens from UmiNutrition right here in Madison, Minnesota. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
I'm enjoying the weather and lack of ice and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's hard not to enjoy it.
That's right, but pretty nice out.
I'll take it.
And, of course, we're not just celebrating May and spring and all that, but May has a special meaning to many people. It's a mental health month this month.
It is.
We think about our mental health and mental health of others. And you're going to talk a little bit about mental health and our diet today.
I am. Yes.
All right. Should be a good subject. Very timely.
I think it's timely. Absolutely. Not that there's ever a bad time to talk
about
diet and mental health, but a
two
good
kinda,
month.
Two kind of go hand in hand.
That's
they?
Right. Yeah. A good month to highlight it. And, you know, I think it's important to note that our diet has a huge impact on our mental health, and we'll talk about that. But our mental health also has a huge impact on our diet. So if we're not feeling the best from a mental health standpoint, most people don't want to take that mood or those symptoms and then go stand in the kitchen and make a complex dinner, right? Sometimes they don't even want to go to the grocery store. Sometimes they don't even want to eat. So not only does our diet impact our mental health, but our mental health challenges or symptoms or struggles or anything that we have going on from a mental health standpoint absolutely impacts what we eat. And it can just end up in this kind of cycle that can be difficult for people to break sometimes. So research is pretty conclusive that diet in some way impacts our mental health. Now, we learn more and more about what that looks like and how it impacts it and to what extent all the time. But there's loads and loads of research out there about especially the quality of food that we're eating and the likelihood or severity of symptoms of things like anxiety and depression, as well as cognitive decline. So when people start to have memory loss or are experiencing ongoing diseases like Alzheimer's or something like that, these associations are really seen from childhood through old age. So we see it in kids and adolescents. We also see it in the elderly. And the big thing that's been studied lately and the big thing that we've talked about with other conditions too is those ultra-processed foods. So I know we brought ultra-processed foods up a couple of months ago maybe and talked a little bit about them. But again, those are foods that are far away from what they originally were. So most of the packaged foods at a grocery store, upwards of 70% of the packaged foods we find at grocery stores are ultra-processed foods. Most fast food items that we eat are ultra-processed foods. And these foods are things that tend to be low in fiber, low nutrient, high in sodium, high in processed fats like processed vegetable oils, high in additives. And it's not that any one individual element of ultra-processed foods is bad. It's all of it in combination and the fact that that often makes up most of the diet. So 60% of calories in the typical American diet are from ultra-processed foods. And in many scenarios, it's even higher than that. And with one of the more recent studies looking at ultra-processed foods, it found that with just 20% or more of your calories coming from ultra-processed foods, we have a 28% more rapid decline in cognitive health. And that was a pretty large study. It was like 10 or 11,000 individuals in Brazil is where the study was conducted. But that's of just 1 out of 5 calories, 20% of your calories are coming from processed foods. And for most Americans, at least 60% are coming from processed foods. So a good thing for us to kind of take a look at and maybe try to shift away from a little bit.
Of course, this is your time of the year because the farmers markets are going to be starting pretty soon. And I know you're a big advocate of those fresh fruits and vegetables.
Exactly. And when we think about what we can do, increasing our fiber through those fresh fruits and vegetables is huge. So absolutely accessing the farmers market. I know they're trying to get some stuff going at the Merc here in town. I think all of the local communities around here have a farmers market. If you have a garden, that's a great place to get it. But simply buying it at the grocery store is just fine too. Wherever you access your fruits and vegetables is great. I'll take it however we can get them. nothing wrong with frozen. I know a lot of people worry about how quickly things go bad in their fridge or on their counter. Frozen lasts for a long time. That's okay. And I'd rather you eat canned green beans than no vegetables. So those canned ones are okay too. But even beyond just thinking about the ultra processed foods, there's something called the gut brain axis. And I don't think we've really talked about this a whole lot recently. Do you remember us discussing the gut brain axis?
I remember us talking about the gut quite a bit, but yeah. Tying it in with anything else.
So the gut-brain axis, I think, is fascinating. And if you're interested in this, you can look online and learn a lot more about it. But the gut contains 500 million neurons that communicate directly to our brain through nerves, like the vagus nerve is kind of the biggest one. It's also chemically connected through something called neurotransmitters. Some people have maybe heard of like serotonin, which a lot of that is made in the gut, and another one called GABA. And those types of neurotransmitters help control our emotions, symptoms of anxiety, all sorts of stuff like that. The gut also produces short-chain fatty acids that impact our mental health. It produces bile acids that impact how we break down our food and how nourished we are. It impacts our gut integrity, so what's excreted versus what's cycled back into our body that maybe shouldn't be. So the bacteria that live in our gut are essential for that communication between the gut and the brain. So if you even think about, you know, sometimes when people get nervous, they talk about getting butterflies in their stomach or feeling that kind of upset stomach. That's that communication between the gut and the brain. So keeping that gut healthy through fiber and fruits and vegetables and all of those things is so essential to maintaining that good gut-brain axis. And then we found that anxiety and depression and those symptoms probably alter the gut as well. So again, that big back and forth between which is causing the other. This is certainly not a claim, right, that nutrition is a cure-all for mental health. It's not that, well, if you have anxiety and you just start eating a healthy diet that doesn't have ultra-processed foods, everything in your life is going to get better.
Nothing's quite that easy.
Quite that easy or quite that clear cut, but these foods can really, changing our foods a little bit, changing our diet, really can have a big impact on severity and kind of helping us heal from some of those things or preventing when it comes to things like cognitive decline.
Okay. I was just fact-checking your information here today. Once again, looking at an article.
I love it when you do that.
Yeah, looking at an article and scrolling here on, and it looks like you must have written it, you know, because they're agreeing with most of what you're saying here.
That's
especially
good.
The part about the healthy gut and the connection between the gut and the brain, you know,
yes.
And the bacteria that live in your gut.
Yeah.
And the brain can even affect the kind of bacteria that's in your gut.
It can. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting, yes.
And there's a couple of really good books if people want to learn a little bit more about this. There's one called Trust Your Gut by, I think he's a gastroenterologist. He's a doctor, but it's just an interesting book about how it's not that the symptoms are in your head. It's just that the things that are happening in our head and in our gut can impact some of those digestive symptoms. And then the other one, I think it's called Your Brain on Food is what it's called. And it just is a book that goes through all of the research behind how food impacts anxiety, depression, ADHD, all of these different things that that affect so many people on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. And, of course, healthy eating is important.
It is.
All year long, but especially now, think about it, during May, Mental Health Month.
Absolutely. Summer, as we're rolling into summer here, is such a great time to start working on habit change, because when things are dark and gloomy and icy and cold and we're not getting outside, we're not getting fresh air, we're not getting sunlight, it can be a little bit more difficult to change our eating habits. So if we can capitalize, especially in the upper Midwest here, on these nice, warm, sunny months to make some of those more difficult changes, sometimes it can be a little easier to carry them through the months that can be a little trickier to get through.
That's right. Well, good topic. A lot of good information there, Amber.
Thank you.
As always. And, of course, if they want even more good information, they can friend you on Facebook, like your page there.
That's right.
Immune Nutrition.
You got it.
IMU Nutrition.
Yes.
That's what we listed.
That's
under
where you find
on
me.
Facebook. And the rest of your contact information is right there on your Facebook page and all that too, right?
It is, yep. It'll take you right to my website if you want to check out anything there. Or you can come see me at the clinic here in Madison too. Just talk to your provider.
Yep, make an appointment and stop up and see you.
That's right.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks once again for another great Taco Tuesday, Amber, and we look forward to what you're going to tell us about next Tuesday afternoon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You have a great week.
You too.